Good evening. You will turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And I want to commend Brother Ricky for those excellent songs tonight and for this morning as well. And I have to confess that I look forward to the songs that are chosen for the particular lesson. He does just an excellent job and puts a lot of thought into it, and I really appreciate all that effort. This morning, as we were looking at the determination that we hopefully make ahead of time of being ready to do the work of the Lord, I wanted to follow that up tonight with a similar lesson that talked about our particular role in the cross that we must bear. And as we read in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 18, we see a little bit about what Jesus expects of us, don't we? Let's start reading Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them, and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged, if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. There Jesus is, and at 33 years of age, he took literally up his cross and he went to his death, didn't he? He was in the prime of life, the prime of his health, doing so much good while he was on the earth. Everything to live for, yet his cross on that last day was to die of it. He was not given that cross, was he? He took it up himself. And he was willing to do that. The thing that we have to realize is he really didn't want that cross. It was not something that he was looking forward to just could not wait to do, but it was something that he considered something he had to do. We go back to Mark chapter 14. Notice the words that he is praying and it is said about him. Mark chapter 14, let's begin in verse 34. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. He didn't want that cross. He wanted another way. And he was pleading unto God, who has the ability to come up with another way, if there was any way. I don't want this. Let there be something else that could be done. And let's just come up with a different plan. And knowing, think about it, knowing for all these years how he left heaven to come to do this one thing, and at the very last of all those years, he's wanting another plan. The cross that we are to bear And the cross that Jesus had to bear is not one that is easy, nor does any one of us want it, typically. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a phrase bear, would it? We don't have to bear going and sitting in front of the television and enjoying a night of rest or a night's sleep or a nice beverage or a good meal. Those things we enjoy. We partake of those things. When we have to bear something, it's most likely unpleasant. And it's always voluntary, isn't it? If you go to John chapter 10, we see a commitment that was made by Jesus. If we begin reading in verse 17, he said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So, Jesus made this commitment, didn't he? He didn't have to do it, but he did it anyway. So, it makes us wonder that we too have to do the same kind of thing, right? We take it voluntarily. We make the profession of faith. And at that particular time, we're placing our life to Jesus and his cause, which is the church. And so he bore that cross, and he says that you have to do that for him in verse 27 of Luke chapter 9. So let's look at Jesus first. Let's look at what led him to take up that same cross that he made that commitment to his Father for. Let's go to John chapter 14. Now in John chapter 14, he was convincing them in the beginning of that chapter that they should believe in him, shouldn't they? They said that they believe in God, believe in him also, he said. But if you go down to the end of that chapter, notice what he says, the reason that he did, one of the reasons. He said in verse 31 of John chapter 14, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." He's saying, I have to do this because I need to say that I love God, and people will believe that. If I will take up this cross and I will give my life, then everybody will believe how much I love my God, my Father, the God, because it was something that he told me to do. He said he gave him commandment, didn't he? And so he had to follow through with that. And so that was what was laid to his charge. If you go back to chapter 13 of John, and we read verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Another commitment that he made is that he would love all of his people, all of the people of the earth. And that was another reason that led him to take up that cross, that he knew that he was responsible and that he loved them and he would always love them to the day that he died. And if you go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we begin reading in verse 21, he says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." In other words, he put his trust in God. That was another reason. All of those things, you know, he had to question all along the way, but he turned that doubt over to God, and he put that trust in him, as he is talking about here in verse 23. That committed, he said, himself to God and his cause. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5 for another bit of information about how he continued to do that. Chapter 5 of Hebrews, look what he says in verses 7 through 9. says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared, though through he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So, it was an act of obedience. Even though he said that he didn't want to here in verse 7, as we have already read, it was something he had to do to be obedient to God. And finally, if you will turn over to chapter 10 of Hebrews, when we look at verses 4 through 13, it tells us that the sacrifice of that cross was absolutely necessary. And that's one of the reasons that he picked it up. Beginning in verse 4, he says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he say, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." And so that right there tells us he had no choice if we were going to have salvation, because nothing else would work. And he came to be obedient. And so Jesus, not because he wanted to, but he had no real other alternative. He loved God, so he had to do it for that. He loved us, so he had to do it for that reason. And so he puts his trust in God, and he was obedient to God. And he said, because there is no other person that can take this cross, I'm going to have to do it. Now, when we take a look at our own selves, if we go back to John chapter 14, one verse that most people know, because it's very easy, John 14 and 15, tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so when we take a look at understanding why we have to take up our cross, we have to look at the same reason that Jesus did. Jesus took it up because he said, that's how I can show that I love my God and my Father. And we will say the same thing. If we pick up our cross, it will show that we love him, because he tells us that we have to do it. And we have love for our people and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we pick it up because we want to be the example for them, don't we? We want to not be a discourager. We don't want to be a stumbling block that would cause someone else to fall away. When I take a look at what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, his statement makes it real clear for us. In verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so he's saying, I have to be trusting in God, the way that Jesus trusted in his Father when he took up his cross. When I take a look at the obedience, remember Jesus had to be obedient to his Father. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 28, the last verse of that chapter, when he gave that great commission. Matthew 28 and 20. He said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so, if we are going to be obedient to God, we have to learn to obey those things. That same obedience that Jesus had for his Father, we have for Jesus. And finally, that sacrifice that Jesus had to make that was absolutely necessary, we have to make it as well. And we get all kinds of scripture, but one that says it very clearly is in Romans chapter 12. In verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So our sacrifice is different from Jesus. Jesus was death. Our sacrifice is life. Living that life as a complete sacrifice unto the day that we die. And so when we think about this commitment that Jesus made to his Father, which he made forever, even though all the way to the end he wanted something else, he followed through with it. We have to take a look at ourselves. Now, in today's society, we know, as we look around, we are a society that don't like making commitments anymore. Our roots are not run as deep as they used to be. You know, when we take a look at consumers, we don't have any brand loyalty anymore. I mean, there used to be people that stuck with one thing. They stick with things that they used their whole life. We will change in a minute, won't we? If a price is better, anything else that we look, we don't have that same commitment that we used to many years ago. And then, and that kind of, I think, passes over into Christianity. We have a lifelong commitment to God, and because of the salvation he offered through his Son, we identify and commit ourselves to the Lord and his church. And that's something that we made a profession on that we take kind of lightly. So when we identify ourselves with the Lord and a particular congregation, we have a loyalty to it. And we have a loyalty to its leaders who puts forth plans for us in the name of Christ to get to heaven, don't we? We don't always like to listen to them. I have mentioned this before, sadly, but every time that the men have talked to someone about any kind of correction, every single one of them have quit. That's the commitment that we have today. We are to have a commitment to Jesus first and the leaders of a congregation second. And we shouldn't just get angry and quit. We should take what is said to heart. We should take the commandments that Jesus gives us to heart. And whenever we have a bad day and don't really feel like attending, we should bring back that commitment, shouldn't we? We should think, well, I don't feel like attending today, but I will be letting down, firstly, Jesus. I will be letting down my brothers and sisters in Christ. And lastly, I'll be letting down myself to the commitment that I made. We don't just take a better offer, do we? I think back that better offers are always available. I think back when Jesus was tempted by Satan. He gave him a better offer, didn't he? He said, I'll give you the thrones of this earth today, no death involved, if you will bow down before me. That was his alternative, but Jesus said, I can't do that. I just can't do that. But yet, we sometimes take a better offer. We'll get upset with something that's going on at a congregation. Next thing you know, we'll just leave because we're angry about something that wants us to change in some way. We don't always consider what's best for the kingdom or best for Jesus. And that's not what commitment of our cross is about. It's about keeping obligations and not choosing something that we consider more important. It's hard to understand it. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 9. I want to reiterate what he said here in Luke chapter 9 when he was talking about our cross. He says it in verse 23 and 24. Luke 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So we have to understand what that means. We have to take it seriously. So what does it mean to deny ourselves? Well, he says that's what's required to take your cross. Why does he say that? Because he knows. He wanted another plan, Jesus did. And so he said, Father, is there another plan? Please take this cup away from me. But not what my will, but what your will. So he knows what denying himself means. So if we want to get a better, clear understanding of what that means, turn over to Luke chapter 22. Let's look at a literal example. Luke chapter 22. Now, he was talking here about the commitment that is required. And we see in verse 33 of Luke chapter 22, Peter has a commitment. He makes a commitment. He says, and he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Now, that's a great commitment, isn't it? That sounds wonderful, and that's what Jesus needed, and that's what he wanted to hear. And notice what Jesus said to him in verse 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt three times, deny that thou knowest me. That's what denying is. Peter says, I make the commitment. Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times. So if we want to go down here and look at beginning in verse 55, there's some examples here of what denying means. He says in verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. In about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou say. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now that's a great example of denying. The only problem was the denying there was to Jesus. That's what we go through every time. Every time that we make a decision against God and against the church or against one of our brothers or sisters in Christ. The question is when we get an idea that goes against what we know that Jesus wants, we say, wait a minute, I don't know who you are, David. You're saying, don't go and visit this person. Don't go study with this person. Don't make that phone call. Don't make that letter that you need to write. We need to say, I don't know who you are, because Jesus tells me to do these things. And the idea is there to do them. We have that choice. We don't deny Jesus. We deny ourselves. And that's where it gets hard, because we don't like doing that, because it's not attractive. That's why Jesus said, you have to take up your cross and bear it. So tonight, as we review, we take a long look at our life, and we look at what we're going to do in the future. And we try to reframe, don't we? We try to say, I want to be able to take up that cross, because he's going to talk to me about it one day. And he's going to say, all these years that you were mine, I either saw you where you did great, enter into the joy of thy Lord, or he's going to say, depart, I never knew you. And that is always going to be our decision. If anyone tonight is open to the invitation, please let it be yours as we stand and sing the invitation song.